Taken from the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink'? Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So you would think after coming back from Israel, I would be sufficiently inspired to give a real bang-up sermon, right? Well, you would be wrong. Our trip home, for Kirsten and I at least, because we came in so late Friday night, we had to go through all the rush hour traffic back to the East Bay, amounted to about 24 hours. So by the time I got home, I was physically, I had aged maybe 20 years at least. So. However, we did see many amazing things. You know, the archaeologists have been busy over there through the decades. They are still busy. They are digging up making new discoveries all the time. And the last time I was there, my guide informed me was the year 2000. I had forgotten what year it was. And since then, they have uncovered many different things. So it is really an amazing sight to see when you get there. Our gospel text for today is on probably my favorite topic, the topic of faith. And it's important, I think, before I get into why Jesus says what he says about faith here, to put it in context, because what he says prior to this has something to do with why the disciples say, "Increase our faith." You know, in the gospel text, the apostles don't just all of a sudden, for no reason, say, "Increase our faith." They said, "Increase our faith," precisely because Jesus had said something that was very difficult for them to hear prior to them saying this. Prior to them saying this, Jesus was talking about forgiveness. And forgiveness can be a very difficult thing, depending, of course, on how painful the offense was that we've gone through. But forgiving people who have offended or hurt us and in some major way can be, sometimes can take a long time. It's not something you can just do. It's a process. But it is something that's very important to do, because if we hold on to the pain that is caused when somebody does hurt us in some way or harm us in some way, or when something happens for which someone else was responsible, if we hold on to that, we never get beyond it. So forgiveness is extremely important so that we can put it in the past and move forward with our lives. So many people are stuck in painful experiences from the past, and that does them no good in terms of being able to live a healthy and a higher quality of life in the future. So forgiveness is very important. But Jesus says to his disciples, he says, You know, if someone offends you or sins against you, and that person says they repent, okay, that's very important. Repentance is in there. You don't just forgive if somebody doesn't care. He says, if they repent, you must forgive. And Peter, always the guy who's got to ask questions, I think it was him anyway. Well, what if the person offends a bunch of times? Well, if every time the person offends, if they say afterwards, I repent, you must forgive. You must forgive. Now, you might say to yourself, well, what if that person is using that as just an excuse to keep up this negative behavior and using your obligation to forgive as an excuse to keep it up? Well, that might come to mind, and that's one reason it might be difficult to do that. But when someone genuinely does repent, and the fact of the matter is that repeating negative behavior is something that we're all prone to do. You know, we get into habits of behavior sometimes that is very hard to get out of. And I've seen it in families, I've seen it in individuals, I've seen it in myself, making the same mistakes over and over and over again. And sometimes, yes, we repent. We intend to stop, to get beyond it, to improve. But it's not always so easy. And so the process of forgiveness goes on. So this is what Jesus tells them. And the disciples, hearing that, understand that they don't have the heart for it. Okay, if someone is sinning against them over and over again, and Jesus is telling them, you need to keep forgiving that person, they don't feel like they have the heart for it. So they respond to Jesus, increase our faith. It's like a cry for help. It's as if they're saying, Lord, you're asking too much of us. This is beyond the limits of what we can do. There are some things, there are many things, that Jesus asked of his disciples that are beyond human limits. Let's face it. There simply are. And so the question becomes, how is it possible to transcend those limits? If we can't do it, if it's humanly impossible to transcend those limits, how is it going to be possible at all? Remember the young man. I've cited him over and over again because he's such a clear case, who comes to Jesus. What do I lack? I want eternal life. What do I lack? Obey the commandment. Well, I've done all that. Well, then sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. And the young man walks away sorrowfully. Okay, that was beyond the limits of what he could do. So that becomes our choice sometimes. Jesus, there are times in life where the choice is we face our limits, we say, no can do, I give up, forget it, I'm done. And it happens over and over again to many folks. They lose their faith because they're stretched beyond their limits. But maybe part of the problem is that they haven't considered the fact that there's another option. When we're asked to go beyond our limits, there is another option other than just giving up. And that option is increase our faith. It's a prayer. It's a request. Lord, I can't do that. Okay, so then the question becomes, well, what does faith have to do with that? What does faith have to do with the ability to transcend or go beyond what we are capable of doing at any one point in our lives? I mean, it has. How is it that we grow in holiness, grow in our ability to obey Jesus when he says, come and follow me, when following him means going down a path that is very difficult to go down? So I remember, this is probably 20 years ago now, there's a little, it's not really a synagogue, it's a gathering of Jewish people in Castro Valley, and it's not big, there's not enough of them to form a synagogue, but they do have a gather, they have a hall that they rent, and a rabbinical student does the services for them. And he called me and he asked me if I would be willing to come and talk to their community about how Lutherans understand our obligation to be involved in the social problems in our society. How do Lutherans respond to social issues like hunger, homelessness, you know, human need of all different kinds? How do Lutherans approach that? I said I would be happy to do that. So I came, and the first thing I did is I talked about how Lutheran immigrants who came to this country over a period of years, you know, after establishing their churches, they also established social service agencies, Lutheran social services. They established hospitals. There was a Lutheran hospital in Baltimore. It's gone belly up since. But there was one there when I was living there. There have been, my mother worked for years at Sunnyview, which was a Lutheran home, convalescent home down in, I think it was Cupertino. Lutherans were involved in social service in many different ways. So first I talked about that. It's important to Lutherans to be involved in that. And then I talked about the basis upon which we feel the obligation to serve human need. How is it that Lutherans feel that obligation to do that? And I talked about faith. I said it's a matter of faith. We call it faith active in love. The foundation for doing good works from a Lutheran perspective, from our theological heritage, is that on the basis of our faith, we are motivated to love our neighbors. That's where it comes from. Now, he found that kind of puzzling, and I'm not surprised that a rabbinical student would find that puzzling, because they think about it in different ways than we do. Okay, so he found it rather puzzling. I'm not sure he fully understood it. But I also tried to use a metaphor that both the Apostle Paul and that Luther used, and that is a metaphor I'm sure you've heard before about a tree that bears fruit, right? Suppose you have an orange tree, and your tree starts to bear oranges that are clearly diseased in some way. There's something wrong with them. Okay, well, you don't fix the problem by treating the fruit, by trying to treat the oranges that are sick. What you have to do is you have to treat the tree. Once you make the tree healthy, then the tree will produce healthy oranges, not the other way around. And that, I said, is how Lutherans understand the role of faith in our lives. What faith is our openness, our acceptance of God's grace and God's love, God's mercy, God's forgiveness, God's presence in our lives. That grace, that mercy, that forgiveness, that's what heals us from the inside out. That's what heals our broken hearts. That's what gives us strength in times of trouble. That's what gives us endurance to be able to go through difficult times. That's what gives us hope when our situation feels hopeless. It is God's grace that heals our hearts. And on the basis of that, and on the basis of the fact that we know that we are loved, not because of anything we have done, but simply because God loves us and has chosen us to be His children. Out of a sheer act of grace, He has given us the gift of His Son. We didn't ask for it. We didn't deserve it. He simply sent Jesus, who was born 2,000 years ago in the region of, in Bethlehem, lived in Galilee, and had a ministry where He Himself went about doing good. It's like Luke says in the book of Acts, Jesus went about doing good in order to heal all the brokenhearted people He came to address. Why did He do that? He did that so as to change and transform our hearts so that we in turn could be conformed to His image, so that we could become like Him and make the world a better place in small and in big ways, depending on the opportunities and the calling we have from God. God will always put opportunities in our pathway. And we need to learn how to see those opportunities as God's call to us to respond in a way that reflects the presence of Christ in our hearts. That's what faith is. Faith accepts the presence of Christ. Now, we use faith in a lot of different ways in our common language, you know. Some people say, well, I have faith in the future, which means I think things are going to turn out okay. Probably optimism would be a better word. Or sometimes people use the word faith instead of religion. They say we have many different faiths in the community. Well, that's not a good way to refer to religion either, because there's a lot of religions for which faith has no role to play. There are religions for which faith is a meaningless term. There's no call to faith in Taoism, for example, or in Buddhism. It's a different approach to life, or amongst the Hindus. So to replace faith with religion, nah, that doesn't work either. Okay, so moreover, our faith is not in our religion. Okay, take for example the sacraments, baptism or the Lord's Supper. Is our faith in the sacrament, or is our faith in the one who comes to us through the sacrament? Our faith is in the Christ who is present through the bread and the wine. Our faith is not in the bread and the wine. So for Christians, faith is an open heart for the presence of Christ. And in that sense, faith is passive. It's not active. You know, faith is, you know, it's like a patient who needs to submit to the care of a skilled physician. And, of course, Jesus is called what? The great physician. A patient who needs to submit to the care of a skilled physician in order to get better is passive. The patient receives treatment in order that the patient might get better again. And once the patient gets better, then the patient can get out of bed and become active in their lives again. Faith is passive. Faith at first simply receives. It receives the gift of Christ. And Christ comes to us to enable us to transcend the limits that otherwise we could not transcend. Okay, which is why He uses this hyperbolic language. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and cast into the sea. Well, it's hyperbolic language. Clearly it's a metaphor. But what He's saying is that you can transcend the limits where you are right now through even just a small amount of faith. Why? Not because we have the power to do that, to make that mulberry tree uproot, but because He does. And when He is present in our lives, He is the one who enables us to rise above our own human limitations and grow in such a way that we can follow him in ways that otherwise might seem downright impossible. So in the end, this passage really is about following Christ. Follow me, he said to his disciples, and they followed him all over. Eventually, they followed him to the ends of the Roman Empire, and they endured things that we could scarcely even imagine. Why? Because they were so great? No. They were Galilean fishermen with barely an education. Some of them probably couldn't read. But they, through the presence of Christ, who comes through an open heart that receives him in faith, were able to follow Jesus and to obey his call in their lives and to tend to the brokenhearted, the blind, the lame, the marginalized, the hated, the poor, all those people who were forgotten and who were considered just plain human garbage. They gathered them together into a community that eventually grew and enveloped the whole empire. Why? Because when they were called to follow, they said a simple prayer. Lord, increase our faith. Amen.